Well, hey folks, welcome to our brand new live chat show. So I am Graham, and together with my friends here, we're part of New England Fellowship. And I can't promise we'll do this every week, but our goal is to come here every week and just have a what we call a kitchen table discussion. Just talk about some fun and relevant things about walking with God. And we're going to do that in a moment. Moment, we actually want to talk all about how to hear from God. How do we hear God's voice, the prophetic? How do we be a people who are led by the Holy Spirit? Is that something we should do? Is it dangerous? What happens when we get it wrong? And more importantly, how do we grow in these things? So it's going to be a really great discussion. Let me do a few quick housekeeping things. Firstly, if you are watching live, why not just share this link on whatever social media platform you are on with your friends? If you want to make a comment, just add a comment to the chat thing, whatever platform you're on, and we'll try to add some of those to the screen. We'd love you to be part of this discussion as well. Let me mention two other things as well. So, what is NEF? New England Fellowship. We're a church. We love Jesus, love to worship. Love the presence of God and so much more. We meet every Sunday at 4 p.m. in the town of Norwalk, Connecticut, in Flax Hill Road. And we'd love to have you join. If you're in that area, you're not a committed member of a church, why not be there with us this coming Sunday? Or even if you just want to drop it in and say hello and enjoy a service and see what the Lord is doing there. Really great to do that. We have a website, nef.church. One last quick add as well. This evening, I will be doing a mentoring class and a mentoring call. So this is live in our cafe in Massachusetts, but also we're going to be going live on Zoom. And that will be a Zoom call where people can participate and speak and ask questions and comments. It's completely free. Love to have you join at 7 p.m. Again, I will put some details in the chat thing before we're finished. If you go to my website, gjm.org, or an NEF website, you'll find a link to that. Great. Well, I've got three of my best friends in the world, three people I really love and I love hanging out with. And it's a privilege and a joy to have them here. So why don't you guys just take a quick moment and share something about yourself? I want to start with you, Linda.
Oh, hi, I'm Linda Halpert, and I'm just passionate about Jesus. I just love him so much, and I'm glad you guys are all here with us. And this is one of my favorite subjects, just being and being with my friends. And I love this coffee clutch of just gathering with each other and sharing our thoughts and our love of who Jesus is. And I don't have it all, but I'm on that journey, and I'm excited to be with you all. I have three adult kids, a wonderful husband, been married for 41 years, and I'm going to
And a
pass it on to
grandson.
and a grandson. Yeah, a grandson.
Linda is ahead of that journey with us. So.
I am
Awesome. It's
that.
great to have you here, Linda. Hey, Juana, why don't you share something about you?
Yes, my name is Juana Gerard, and I'm a mother of one, and I'm a lover of Jesus. So
Yes, you are.
I love Jesus, and I love this bunch that is on screen right now, and we all have a history of more than a decade, and looking forward to more years to come, exciting with Jesus.
Hey, Kylie, tell us something about you.
Hi all. My name is Kylie Robertson, and I'm an Aussie who is also an American.
An Aussie.
Yeah, so like Juana said, we've been journeying together for over a decade now. So it's just wonderful to dive in today and explore this whole topic and subject of hearing the voice of God with my best friends.
Yeah, awesome. So let me begin and just set this out here. We're going to try to aim to talk for about half an hour, but I don't know. Sometimes we go on longer, but that's okay. Hearing from God, is that something we can do? Is it something we should do? Frankly, I think most of us know there are a lot of Christians, there are a lot of churches who never really teach on that subject, or so often it becomes like there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Book. And I would say amen to that. I'll often kind of joke, but I'm really not joking. If you want to hear God's voice, just open your Bible and read it out loud. This is God's voice. And I think all of us would agree 100% that the Bible is the authority in the church, the thing we should follow. It's how we know truth. We love experience, love to feel God, experience God. But everything is under the Bible and subject to the Bible. And anything you think you hear from God or about God that doesn't line up with the Bible, just throw it out. So, that's a basic starting point with this. But I think, historically, especially here in America, there are lots of churches who really believe God spoke, prophets, Old Testament, spoke through Jesus, spoke through the apostles. And then once that first, maybe the first century, those first apostles died out and what we'd call the canon of scripture, what we have as scripture was written, it's like people have adopted a theology, God no longer speaks. And I know many people, including many famous teachers in America, people like the kind of John MacArthur crowd, who would literally say it's dangerous to try and hear from God. And they would say this simply, that if God was speaking today, we'd have to take down everything he said and write it and add it to the Bible. That if God was still speaking, well, that would be the word of God, so we'd have to just keep adding to the Bible. And of course, probably most of you know we wouldn't agree with that. I believe if we're going to be followers of the Bible, the very Bible we say we are followers of, speak to us about Christians hearing God's voice, that it should be natural and normal, normative in a way, for the life of a believer in the life of a church to hear from God. And, I would say it's glorious hearing from God. I will try not to do any stories. I've got so many amazing stories of when God spoke to me and it saved my life, I saved others' lives, or opened doors, or did incredible things. But I've also got my own stories and the stories of others where they got it wrong, or I got it wrong, or at times we partially get it right and partially get it wrong. And I think what we are trying to do today is have an honest, I call it like pithy discussion about this. Again, just a few quick thoughts. It's a really big thing to me. I think this is a really empowering thing. If we can realize that in every part of our Christian life, we haven't arrived, we're growing. And so often we'll come to a subject in Christianity and make it very binary. Either we can do this perfectly or we should throw the whole thing away. And if you think about it, nothing we do in life is perfect from our perspective. None of us have perfect marriages. Do we throw them away? No, they're precious and glorious. And you kind of keep working at it and hopefully keep moving in grace when you or maybe the other person fails in that. Church isn't perfect. Jesus comes to set us free from sin, and we're all learning to walk that out. It's perfect from God's perspective, but it's imperfect in our experience. And I think sometimes we'll come to this subject of hearing from God and put unfair expectations upon the subject, ourselves, or others, that it's like we're setting ourselves up for failure in that way. So my basic premise today is that I think we should be lifelong learners on this subject. I think we should be, in the UK where I come from, when a let's say a teenager learns how to drive, they literally put like a white sticker on the front and back of the car with a large letter L. We call it an L plate. And when you're driving and you see somebody with an L plate, it means they're a learner. That means it's somebody's 18-year-old son or daughter. Just cut them a little bit of slack. Don't be parking, driving at the rear end, honking your horn and trying, just like you had to learn to drive too, and give them a little bit of space. And don't be surprised if they do something a little erratic at times. And I think the challenge is most of us should wear L plates for the rest of our life in many areas of the Christian life. And I think the Lord loves it when we do that, when we're honest. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he holds the proud afar off. So I think if we'll sit in that place of grace and go, God, I think I understand more than I used to about this, but I'm really still a learner. I'm growing, and I know I can get that wrong. I know one of my frustrations as a pastor is, I would say the average person I see really hardly ever tries to hear from God and never really establishes any testimony whatsoever of hearing from God. And yet, when it comes to take the big decisions of the life, major decisions like marriage, moving house, a country, joining a church, leaving a church, those things, suddenly they'll be like, nope, God told me. And they put that away in a like a like as if they're 100% certain this is God. And I think the way we get to, and I'm not there, but 100% certain something is God, is by trying 10,000 times and doing it in a safe way. So I want to circle back to that in a moment and ask, how can we do this and keep it safe? How do we keep from getting into dangerous places? We're a learner driver. How do we learn to drive safely and well? Like if you follow the analogy, most of us began our driving history not on I-95 going into New York City. We began in a parking lot somewhere, in the Walmart parking lot or the Sturbridge Worship Center parking lot for my kids, when there was no traffic around, nobody parked, when there was a lot of space to figure out how dangerous it is when you stamp your foot on the accelerator and what a brake actually does when you hit it. And we learn in a very safe place. And the more we improve, the more we put ourselves in places of danger. Hey, one last thought here, and I'm going to open that up and we're going to discuss this. I was trying to think about this earlier, but two quick thoughts about this. I think there are several categories of ways God speaks to us. I'm not speaking so much about how we hear him, but actually, and I think there's a danger when we confuse these. Like, let me put it this way. I think you'd agree that it's actually really important all of us hear from God relationally. Possibly there's nothing more important that God wants to say to any of us than my son, my daughter, I love you. You know, I cherish you. I've got you. I forgive you. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. Like I'm there with you. And that's, you know, if God comes to me and says, I love you right now, do I need to write that? Write another book in the Bible and say, God told Graham, you're like, no, of course not. Do I need to announce that, you know, on the internet or in church? Probably not. You know, it's probably not very relevant to anybody else. And I think there are some things which are really personal and some things maybe which even have a short window of validity. I mean, obviously God's going to love me tomorrow, but I might want to hear that again tomorrow. And some words are personal and they're in the now. I think there are some words which are words for a season, like maybe something God's saying to me in this season. And that could be, frankly, a few days, weeks, months, or maybe even a few years. I think there are words which God speaks to a group. Maybe God comes to a local church and gives a word. It doesn't mean they've got to go to all the churches in the surrounding area and say, we've heard from God. Here's what you've got to do. Here's how you've got to restructure your church. It means God's speaking to that. I think there are probably words God speaking to the wider body of Christ or to the whole body of Christ on earth. I would even say in the, you know, if you look in the New Testament, at times there are things God's saying to every Christian of all space and time. If you were in the book of Revelation, there are seven prophecies to seven churches. None of those churches exist anymore. And yet we can learn, we can piggyback and understand the principles of truth that the Lord was speaking to them, even if they're not directly to us. So kind of different spheres. Again, let me really last thought, but this is, I've never really had this thought before, but kind of a weird thing in a way. Maybe we'll have to hear your thoughts on this. Imagine if there was an alien invasion. Okay, this is a silly example, I know, but imagine some aliens land today. And they come, they land in London, of course, it was a city of choice. And imagine they were trying to communicate with us. Have you ever, I don't know if we've ever thought about that, but we have our own rhythm and cadence of speaking. Like if I start speaking like this right now, blah, 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 you're going to like, whoa, slow down, Graham. Imagine if we met somebody who spoke once every 50 years. Like imagine we met some alien, we said hello, and in 20 years time they said hello, I'm glad to be here. We were like, and is it possible that I think certainly God wants to have a direct and real communication with us. Is it possible God wants to say some things that are going to take him several years to say because he's outside of space and time, or more pertinently several years for us to hear and perceive? So that his time frames aren't our time frame. I think we accept that true for how God works in our life, in our character, for different areas. But is it possible we're also missing it because he speaks? Some things he's got to show us may take us several years to hear. Interesting thought. So I want to open this up, and any of you guys want to jump in there. How important is it that we as Christians learn to hear from God? Anybody want to take the ball and run with that. Kylie.
I think it's vital that we, each of us, learn to hear and walk with God. I think underpinning everything he wants and desires relationship with us. And so getting to know anyone, you want to be, you know, getting to know them, hearing their voice, learning character. So yeah, it's vital to learn to hear God's voice for ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Another question again. Any Linda, why don't you jump in? But what if somebody were watching this and they were saying, "Look, I've got the Bible. What am I missing? I see all the bad things I'm missing by not trying to hear from God, prophetic, all of that. I see the weird and the wackiness. Like, why should we have that in my life or my church? What am I missing by this? What isn't the Bible enough? Isn't the Bible sufficient?"
I think I want to jump on them because I'm excited about this. I think it's a personal journey for me. I came when I was first saved, and I was part of a church, wonderful church, and I was listening to Bible a lot and sermons, and I know sitting there year after year thinking, what do I do with this? What do I do with this information, with this knowledge? And I think I realized later, a season later, that actually hearing the voice of God is what transforms a kind of a dull Christian life into an exciting Christian life. And the word, the simple, the mere word, the stories of the Bible into an exciting adventure. The drive into a flood of just God's intimacy.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Linda, any thoughts on that? What are we missing if we're not doing this?
A really big one. I was yesterday I was reflecting that my daughters speak to me every night. And it's not because they have to, it's because they want to. And so much of the Christian life is about that we belong to a good father and a relationship. And you touched that, Graham, but so much of it is the heart of God. And when you know the heart of God is that he wants to speak to you and that he has things to share, just like my children, they come because we're part of a family. And I think the relational part of recognizing that God wants to speak to us is really important, the heart of God.
Okay, so we agree with that. We're missing something in the vital part of our relationship with God. I mean, he loves us, but he wants to communicate. Love communicates.
Absolutely.
You agree with that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so what else will it do personally for us hearing God? I mean, I think faith, you know, so often we'll say Romans 10:7, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And again, that means the Bible, amen. But I mean, it literally says faith comes by hearing the rhema of God, the now word of God, doesn't it? And when God speaks to us personally, faith arises in our hearts. Yeah.
Yeah. And touches the deepest part of who we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like one from God can, in one moment, settle things that.
Yeah.
He reaches a place in us that. Yeah, it's really personal.
I mean, I think again at a practical level, God wants to speak to us about sin and righteousness. Like he wants to tell us when we're missing it, but also tell us who we are in him. And if, I think without hearing from him, I mean, frankly, anytime Holy Spirit's convicting us of sin, that's hearing from God, isn't it? Anytime he's leading and guiding us, that is hearing from God. I mean, would you guys agree with this as well? So go ahead, Linda.
Can you go into a little bit about discerning the voice of God? Just, I think that's a big place where people struggle in, you know, is this God? Is this the pizza? Is this the devil? Is this, how do I, you know, I'm trying to sense what God is saying to me personally. When you say a rhema word, how do you go about doing it?
In some ways, I wanted to finish with that piece, but let's go
Okay.
there.
Go back to your thing then.
I mean, I
I'm
think
just
some of the danger in this, not danger in this, but we need to be honest about this. It is a really subjective teaching. And there are, I remember when I was a young Christian in the 1980s going around for a stage. I worked for the Assemblies of God and I'm traveling around different towns every day. And at the time, every town in the UK had a Christian bookstore. There's about five left. I don't think London has one now, but you know, they're everywhere. And I'd go into every bookstore and I'd ask people, do you have any books on how to hear God's voice? And people would look at me like, you're crazy. And I don't think at the time, I'm sure there might have been some of the very few. So, I mean, how do we discern God's voice? My only point is, it is really subjective. There's no chapter in the Bible where Paul says, finally, dear brethren, I will exhort thee on how to hear God's voice. And blah, 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 blah. And for years, frankly, I would have never said this, but I used to think that was like an oversight. My Lord, why didn't you get these guys to add that chapter? And I kind of realized one day that I don't think it is an oversight. It's meant to be the overflow of a walk of intimacy with the Lord. And I actually came to the conclusion that so often to write the book, which is not wrong to do, or have the conference, or whatever, to give people techniques on how to hear God's voice, like be silent, you hear a little voice, and like, or you see a picture, and like all those things are true, but they're only true to the measure somebody spends time with God. And to give people technique without the relationship is to often lead them astray, or people do hear voices that aren't God and see pictures that are their own imagination of their own things. So I think a lot of this, I would say the bottom line, probably 80% of the truth we can learn about hearing from God is just spend a lot of time with Him. And I'd add to that, I think spending time with Him, I think especially again, it seems like a Western thing, but we're very good at spending time with Him with a to-do list and soaking music in a candle and I think just learning to be still and know that He is God, and letting the chatter of your own mind and thoughts and social media and world around you just die down into the background a little bit. So I think the more we spend time with Him, the louder and the more distinct His voice gets. You'll hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." But I think if we need to hear that voice in any way that requires us to take a risk or take a decision or put some weight upon that voice, we've probably got to spend 100 times more time just listening to Him and loving on Him and being with Him. So I would say there's no gift, no anointing, no conference, no book, no oil, no shofar. There's no substitute than spending time with the Lord. I mean, how else things? I think things like the sin thing are, I would say, quite easy because there are tells, there are poker tells, aren't there? That when Satan comes to condemn you, he pushes you further in, he pushes you into shame. He speaks to you, and it sounds like it's God, but it distances you from God. He comes and he says, "You filthy, miserable, shameful thing." And you want to go like Adam and Eve and hide from God. I think everything God ever says to you brings you nearer to Him and draws you further into relationship. He comes and says, "This is wrong, but I love you." I would also say, God, when He speaks, He always separates our performance from our identity. So He comes and says, He said to Jesus, "You're my son, and I'm pleased in what you've done." In a way. And with us, at times he'll say, "You are my son, and I'm not pleased in what you've done, but you're still my son." And he's like establishes identity and then talks about the outworking of that identity, the consequences, sure. But he never says, "You've done a bad thing and you're a bad person." He goes, "You're my child, and you forgot you're my child. You're not living it, you're not acting it, whatever." So I think things like that. I mean, how else can we discern God's voice? I think, again, it's got to line up with the Bible. I think all of us should have other people around us. And again, the more weightier the decision, the more pertinent it is to the primary choices of life, the better it is to have other people listen and witness and to kind of wisdom in the multitude of counselors kind of idea. I think, frankly, we should develop a track record of hearing from God and finding out it actually was God. outside of coincidence and happenstance and circumstance. Like if somebody hears God say, go and speak to your neighbor, you get there and the neighbor's gone away on vacation for 6 months. Rather than spiritualize that, just go, I missed it. And I think like we've got to, the more we hear from God and it hits the mark, the more we go, okay, that's God. The more we try to hear from God and it doesn't hit the mark, I think we should recognize that's us. So those would be some of my pointers on doing that practice. Can we talk about the missing it thing though? So I don't know if I'm weird, but it feels to me the church, again, it's like there's a whole wing of the church that doesn't really want to talk about this. It's either weird or it's just like it's sort of like icky. It's like we don't want to go there. It just causes confusion. Let's stay with the safe places. I think to the frankly to the greater degree money has influence in the life of a church, the more people stay away from things they can't control or could cause a risk, or there's just a it's sort of like a law in a way. There's an inversion thing that goes on, and the more a church becomes a country club and a nice place and the staff and the salary and all that, the more we people don't want anything risky, anything we can't control in some sense. So I think the Lord wants the church to go to places where things are out of control. But my point is in those of us who really believe in this, I don't think there's always enough conversation about the fact we do get these things wrong. The fact that I mean, let me put it this way, how reliable are they? And I mean, again, I was thinking this earlier. I probably hate to say this, but I would love to not believe in this subject. It's a horrible thing to say. I would love to just not go there. I feel at times I see far more mistakes or bad examples of this than I do good examples. Part of me would love to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, you know, this whole prophetic hearing from God thing is just like a mess. And that's honestly how I feel at times. But I can't do it because it's biblical. And I also can't do it because I've seen it happen well enough times to realize how precious it is. So it's like I can't let go of it, but I do acknowledge the mess it causes. So can we jump in on that thing, the getting it wrong, the mess it causes? Is that something
But
we all
Grant,
agree on?
to be specific, you're talking more like the governmental influence of prophetic people that may say things about whatever presidential elections or this and that. Is that what you are alluding to when you say that?
But I think it happens in the micro and the macro. So I think, yeah, you get people like 4 years ago, these prophets saying about elections or whatever. But I think it also happens on a near daily basis in small ways in people's lives, where I think you'll get people taking decisions thinking they've heard from God, or trying to tell other people what they think they've heard from God for somebody else. And I think so often there's not that humility to say, I just could be completely wrong about this. That I think, well, I think once we sort of buy into the idea, no, I've really have completely got this right. I think we actually, I would say to some degree, we even shut off God speaking to us and saying, no, you're not wrong. I think as well, there's an element, isn't there, that whenever we, like, if I'm in my church this evening and I go to somebody and saying, I have heard from God, thus says the Lord. It to the measure I have influence or reliability or an authority or whatever word in their life, it shuts down any discussion. Let's say this afternoon, I've got a whole bunch of calls. We're doing a Zoom call with some friends about a quite an important financial decision, but a long-term one that could be really beneficial, but like a 20-year decision, let's say, you know, something like that. And it could have, you know, and which obviously you want to hear from God. I want to use our intelligence, our brains, our experience, ask other people, have they done this before? And trying to weigh a decision. If I come and say, God spoke to me, I've heard from God, I've shut down the discussion. People only have one response. Either they can say, oh, well, God, Graham heard from God, the end of the discussion, or they can say, Graham didn't hear from God. But it's like I pulled a veto card on the discussion. And I think so often people do that in big ways and small ways. I would just add that I think when people get it wrong hearing from God, often the consequences are wrong for years, or like I've seen many people do silly things because they thought they heard from God, and those consequences last for years, and that's a problem, possibly even for eternity. And I think that's a really sad thing as well. Whereas if they would have had the humility to say, I mean, to me, if I see a young couple who've met each other 2 weeks ago and they say, God told us we're going to get married, I'm like, that's awesome. But if it was God, it will be borne out by the normal things of great. Get to know each other, get to know your families, just go and do a bunch of normal things and find out by real life that it actually was God. But if they go and get married simply because we had a dream or get a prophecy or whatever, then they will find out later whether it was or wasn't. But it's often, or often the price tag is a lot higher with those things. So, anyway, I guess my question to you guys is, do you agree that's a problem in the body of Christ? Maybe it's not a big problem, but then.
Yeah, and just what you just shared, Graham, even the weights of what you put on. So just your example of you have got this meeting, you've obviously gone to the Lord and have a perception. Your other people that are going to be involved in this decision, how much weight do you put in the counsel of wisdom of those people? And just even what you're getting, secular information that you might have done some, education about what you're doing, the weight of each of these. And each circumstances could be also quite, it's a
I think it doesn't, God does never says like put common sense away or
right.
intelligence, and you will hear this voice for everything you do. You're sitting there choosing what socks to wear and like, give me a vision and it's, but
I definitely,
go
I
ahead.
mean, you spoke earlier about safety. I feel like God really does want to speak to us about just so much. Small things, big things. He wants to reveal who he is in great ways. There's just, as we get to know him, it is eternity that we're going to keep getting to know him. And I feel like in a community of people who want to press in to wanting to be more prophetic, you speak of safety and creating a culture where you can start in the realm of, okay, we need training wheels on and the risk isn't as high. And yeah, being in a community of people who all want to learn, and if they have these L plates on for the rest of our lives, but I think there's such glorious, it's just a glorious journey. But I do feel like we can do it in a place of safety. And I guess all our backgrounds we've probably experienced ourselves when we've had prophetic words spoken over us that is not good or is hurtful, and we've also done that to others because we lack wisdom and good teaching, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, let me ask you this, see if you guys agree with this. It is, is it, to what degree is it right that we judge other people? And again, I'll use the word judge, not the word condemn. So to what degree, let's say, where people are bringing out words that are nationwide words or whatever things, to what degree should we test those things? Should we analyze them? Should we judge them? I mean, let me just give the example. I don't mean this to be negative. The chap a few months ago, or about 6 months ago, gave this prophecy on YouTube about President Trump being shot in the ear and blood spurting from his ear. Now, I'll be honest, when I heard that, and that was clearly put out months before that event happened, I was like, wow, okay, I'm impressed with that. That's not some vague generic. Somebody gave a word and said there'd be an assassination attempt. I don't. That's, to me, given the amount of animosity and hatred towards somebody like Trump, that's not that to, outside the realm of coincidence to me. But a word like that, I was like, wow, okay. But then, to what degree do we prod and test? And is there a danger? Would you agree there's a danger in when somebody gets a word really right, we can often sort of go like, oh, well, this person is must be right on lots of other things. And do we need to accept at times that people can really hear from God in one area, but it doesn't mean everything in their life is right. It doesn't mean they're living without sin, or okay, I'm not talking about the guy who said that, just to be clear, but how we any thoughts on how we process these things in a kind of wider sense? Or I'll give you some if you like.
I think with a lot of caution, Graham. I think again, to your point, we're all, we all prophesy in part. We all know in part. To your very beginning, we are going to make mistakes. So anybody that, it's wonderful the accuracy of that, having a word of knowledge, but that doesn't mean the next word of knowledge that he has will be accurate. So I think again, to you. To the very bottom basis is humility. Humility in how we even deliver a message. And I think humility is huge. We've had a situation sometimes at church where people would have tried to take a church function into a maybe a totally different direction. So even in a church setting where you want the prophecy to flow, you kind of need to know who you're with, and as a someone that wants to shepherd and guide your sheep well, you just wanted a layer of protection too. So I think, just same way, wisdom.
Let me see if you guys agree with this. Is it possible that a lot of the challenges we've had in the body of Christ with things like this in the last however many years, that the answer is actually the local church? Like I sometimes wonder, I feel that in the New Testament, you would have, like, let's say in Acts 13, it speaks about this church, more a citywide church, and the prophets and teachers, and Paul talks about somebody speaking and then others judging that. But the judging, in a way, those words are coming forth in a community of people who know each other. Prophecy is part of that, but teaching the Bible, probably taking the trash out, is part of that. Just marriages, kids, doing life. And in a way, those international ministries or the people who might speak to a wider platform, they're tested and worked through in the life of a local church. I mean, it would seem to me if somebody's in a local church and they keep getting consistent words and it's clear to everybody around them, they establish a testimony. This chap, this lady is really hearing from God. There's a place for that local church to I won't say promote them, but give them a wider voice. But I think sometimes with things like social media or YouTube, whatever, there's a place for somebody to putting something out without any accountability or any sense of who is this person, where are they coming from, what's their track record, what happens if they get it wrong? Like, will they, I've seen a lot of people like put out words, and when they don't happen, they just delete the video and like, nope, nothing to see here. Didn't happen. And
So true.
so, I think the local church is a piece of that. Do you guys agree with that?
Totally.
And I think it's probably not a great person to quote right now, but the Archbishop of Canterbury, the one who just resigned last week, he once said something years ago that really got me. He said the church should be a safe place to take crazy risk. And I kind of agree with that. It should be this safe environment for people to do that. So come on, let's bullet point a few ideas. How can church be a safe place to take risks? What do we do to get people to grow in these things in a church in a safe way? Just throw out some ideas.
I
Yeah.
think we,
Speak up, sorry.
You're Linda.
I just said teach
Teach
it.
on it.
Teach.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Juana.
And I think in this in the church, I think we encourage actually each other to do that. And
Encourage
every
people to
time,
do it. Yeah.
encourage people to actually do it hands-on, and then have the feedback of the mature Christians around you.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's
yeah,
big, isn't
just
it? Yeah. So we want teaching it. We want to actually encourage people. I think we should have too much of this, not enough of it, but we keep it in the kiddie pool place, as it were, rather than the deep end. Callie, any thoughts on that? How do we
Yeah, I was just saying, create the spaces where we can all learn together. Just creating those spaces and be able to encourage each other when we miss it. Juana mentioned feedback. I think to create that culture of it's okay to give it a go, it's okay to fail, help people understand, don't go into shame or despair, but yeah, that it's this is a learning lab to keep going. Yeah, and celebrate the wins together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is it a challenge that we don't, maybe leaders, myself included in that, don't talk about their failures enough? By definition, I don't think anybody wants to sort of lie about those things, but by definition, it's like testimonies. You triage, don't you? Like nobody ever said, Linda never stands up in any episode. Who's got a testimony this week? And somebody says, I had a really boring day on Tuesday. Nothing happened. I'm like, yeah, we triage and we go, oh yeah, Thursday, this awesome thing happened, and we choose that. So even when we talk about these things, or what I do, by definition, we're choosing the pertinent things, the awesome things, the times we got it right, or God broke through. And so I think people see sometimes those leading a teaching can be put on a pedestal and seen as if they get this perfectly, which makes it harder again for others to have a go, get it wrong. I mean, I love Sean Bolts, a lot of what he would do, and that's a few years back now. But just coming up with like a real load of humility, like I really could be wrong about this word. Guys, you're about to see me mess up, but is there a, whoever in the room and be more surprised than anybody else when he got it right? So that's a nice place to be, isn't it? Where
Yeah.
so any other things again,
I
have
have a
encouraged
question.
us with safety.
On safety, so you and I actually had a conversation on this. When somebody releases a word that is not encouraging, and you can't take it out of your head when someone says something, over you, they felt it's so important because they felt it was from the Holy Spirit to release that to an individual. Can you speak about that a little bit? Because I think that is why a lot of maybe churches don't even want to even.
Which again, I would like, I mean, I think some, most people get a little bit nearer to me usually end up figuring that out. Like that's how I operate for my own life. I hardly ever let people prophesy over me. And I think somebody could legitimately come and say, hey, Graham, you're missing some really great things by that. And I would go, you're absolutely right. Amen. But I've had enough times where people come and speak stupid, inaccurate curses, just like horrible things that I don't want to have to.
Yeah,
I
but
just find it easier to sort of go, unless I know you and unless I think there's a level of maturity, I don't want you doing that. So, but. By the same token, I would try then in any church context or any meeting I'm leading to watch quite carefully and jealously over the things spoken. So part of me is trying to encourage everybody to have a go, jump in and move in the prophetic as the written word of God commands us to, but at the same time to stop that immediately or to redirect it. If somebody's saying something that is wrong or inaccurate or frankly, the heart of God isn't behind it, even if it can be appear accurate. So, I mean, I would say there's the three parts to hearing from God. There's revelation, interpretation, and application. And so often people can get it right a little bit on the revelation, but can miss it on the interpretation or the application. So I think everything about hearing from God is a team sport. And everything about hearing from God should bring us back into greater dependency on God, not lead us away into pride to figure this out on our own. I think it just back to that thing as well of how we create a safe place to take risk. I think to encourage people to hear from God a lot, but in areas that don't have large consequences. Like it would be like if we were talking about investing, we could talk about like what people call paper trading, like learn to trade the stock market, but with monopoly money, so to speak, where there's not, you're not putting the farm on it. You're not betting the farm on some, like you learn and learn in a very low consequence risk dynamic where, okay, if it wasn't God, that's, I actually think in one sense, evangelism is a great way of doing that because frankly, you could go to 100 people a day and try to hear from God for them and nobody's ever going to, you're probably never going to see most of them ever again. Nobody's going to sue you. Nobody's, it's the consequence thing is really low. And often God will redeem those things even when we get them wrong by our willingness to show up and have a go there. So, yeah. So, just quick recap, we really should hear from God. Again, let me throw this idea out, come back at me or just agree or not, but is it possible we're missing lots of great and powerful and interesting areas that God wants to work because they don't even occur, it doesn't occur to us to bring this concept of hearing God to those arenas? Like, is it possible God wants to speak into businesses, frankly, into government and into lots of arenas that the church is not involved in because we're not stretching and believing him for those things? I mean, I've actually got no problem with people bringing prophecy in politics. My point is they need to be right. They should develop a track record in those things that get them in there. I think in the Old Testament, when the prophet went to see the king would be shaking in his boots and going like, you know, do you come in peace? And I think God wants his church alive and hearing from him in lots of different arenas and realms. If you guys agree with that.
Absolutely. I think God cares about every detail. I mean, he's so into every detail.
Yeah.
In all the details, he cares about every facet of life personally. And yeah, I think as nations as well, in every level. Yeah.
I mean, this is like eschatological question, like an end times question. But I know in one sense, we look at the end times two ways. One, like, Jesus is coming back in 6 months and it's all over and just, you know, whatever. But if we are not, if he's not coming back for 1,000 years or 100,000 years, most of us can't even comprehend that idea. In the same way as the early apostles who saw Jesus go away 10 years ago couldn't comprehend that he wouldn't come back for 2,000 years, whatever. But is it possible the Lord wants to speak to us about things we should do that will be having like waves and effects for centuries to come? I mean, we're surfing the waves of things that people like Martin Luther and, you know, many, many, many others did. And we are beneficiaries of the grace that, imperfect though they were, that other people did. And is it possible we should be asking the Lord questions about children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren, you know, lots of like, just, you know, books we should write, things we should do, and that Satan wants to get us locked into this sort of, you know, humdrum of the now and very small, insignificant things. Could it be the Lord has so much more to say to us that we're not ready to hear? I think, oh, interesting thought. Agreed?
Agree.
Okay, let's begin winding this up. But hey, I just want to come back real quick on something Linda said. I think prophecy, hearing from God from other people, should come by invitation, not by imposition. So I was trying to say, I don't think it matters how well we hear from God or think we do. It never gives us right to override somebody else's free will, the personhood, the volition and capacity to take choices for themselves. And whenever we do that, I think we're in witchcraft. We're trying to control and manipulate someone else. And I do think a lot of that goes on under the guise of prophecy or hearing from God. So quick thought there. Hey, let's finish with this. I'd love to, you guys, jump in with some thoughts on this. This has got to be a lifestyle, hasn't it? Agreed?
Yes.
So the answer to this is not like some conference or some seminar or let's try and some great experience, but a lifestyle of hearing from God. And back to what we said at the beginning, we'll probably never completely make it perfectly, but we can improve vastly and we can take ground in this area. So let me throw out through, but I'm going to go around the horn. Mention, if you will, two or three things that will help us build a lifestyle with this. So I'll start with two or three ideas with that. I think firstly, we should try and do this every day. I think if we only try to hear from God when we really need to hear from God, it's really hard to. So I think if we do it every day when we don't need to, it will get easier when we do need to. I will circle back to that idea of just being quiet, just shutting the noise and the chatter down is really useful. I'll also throw in the idea of praying in tongues. I think when we do that, it's like it sort of puts the natural, it's not wrong, the natural, but that natural mind in its place. It's like your spirit takes the wheel and takes a larger part of your life. So praying in tongues, praying in the spirit much. I think the more you do that, the louder God's voice gets from your perception. Linda, any thoughts on that? How do we develop a lifestyle of this?
I think faith is a really big piece. So, sometimes I don't want to keep on going asking God about and asking God. I ask him once I believe he hears me. He knows what's going on in my mind or what's on, and I want to hear his heart. So when it comes to this is a dialogue, I think I give it to him, whatever's on my heart. And I say, I want to hear what's on your heart and your answer. And I'm going to expect it's going to come when it comes. And now I'm just going to worship when it comes. So I kind of like leave it at him because it's his initiation to speak to me.
It's good. Faith. When we believe God will speak to us, we will hear him more. Juana, your thoughts on that? Developing a lifestyle in that?
Yes, I think just doing, and again, we talked a little bit about safely doing it in the church context, but also stepping out on a day-to-day basis, right? Because God will just pick out of the blue something, and if we have that tender heart to respond to it, I think also we talk about other mature Christian correcting and giving us feedback, but also and using our mind, but also sometimes it's stepping out of what we know rationally in our mind and obey with courage, with boldness, what God told us, respond with that sensitivity of the heart. And then we'll see this time when we actually step in faith and follow, obey, we see how God actually, the Holy Spirit, will either correct us or confirm that what we heard and did was the right thing.
That's good, Kylie, any thoughts on that? Building a lifestyle.
Building a lifestyle, I would say saturate ourselves in his word, like
Come on,
just every day, just getting literally in his word every day, and worship, being in just worshiping him, being in his presence, and building that, just being still in his presence, and just having our heart posture towards him, I feel helps me anyway, hear him clearer and slowing down, being there's so much that is a distraction in our day to day, isn't there? So we are a very distracted people. And so just being able to take moments of our day, slow down and just disconnect from distraction and just turn our heart back to God's presence, I think helps build that lifestyle of hearing.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, the worship thing as well is, it's so powerful. I mean, I think it's possible as well. You know, in our brokenness, I think we try and hear from God, and so often we can be selfish in that, or we're thinking of ourselves, or we're fearful about something, and we're trying to hear from God. And my point is, if our foundation is self or ego or fear or how stupid we'll look, all of those things are, they tend to disappear when we worship, don't we? Worship tends to recalibrate and put everything back in its rightful place because God is number one. And I think, the more we worship, the more we worship, the more we step out of the influence of the fear of getting it wrong or bad consequences or our ego, our identity. And so that's everything should be bathed in worship. And I would also say as well, the more we, if we think we're hearing from God and it's not God, the more we worship, the more It's sort of like the more we worship God grows bigger in our understanding. And the more that thing's going to look out of place, that thing's going to feel like something shouldn't be there. It's like if we're in a human relationship, let's say like a marriage relationship or with a friend, and there's something going on that shouldn't be there, and we're aware of it, and we can, it's like we can do that when we're far from them, but we can't be close and intimate with somebody when there's this like, thing going on that shouldn't be going on there. And I think the more we spend time with God, the more we'll know his voice. I think our struggles from, put it this way, our struggles about hearing from God come from not spending time and worshiping him more than anything. The less about technique, the more about presence. So awesome. Well, we've gone nearly an hour here, so I want to thank Linda and Kylie and Juana for coming on, and we will try to do this more often. So hopefully once a week, and try and bring some guests and some friends in as well. So thank you. We had currently there's about 92 people watching this live. So thank you guys for watching live. Again, a couple of reminders. If you're interested in a church that tries to live these things out and do them, I think there are many of them. Pray, find the right one. But our hope is to just be one of those where God has planted us. But we meet at 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon in Norwalk, Connecticut. Love to have you there. And this evening, again, I've got a mentoring call all about finding, it's a little bit on this subject, finding out the vision God has for you. And I'm actually going to lead people through a bunch of exercises tonight to write, to define and write down the vision God has for them. So you can join us live at our cafe in the town of Sturbridge, Mass, in Sturbridge Worship Center, or if that's easier, jump on Zoom at 7 p.m. I've put a link in the chat to this, whatever platform you're watching that on. Or if you go to my website, you will find that. Let me add that. Boom, boom, boom. Two. Bop. Great. So again, thank you guys for coming on. We appreciate that. And I will try and put this out as an audio podcast as well. But we are wishing you well. Practice hearing from God, practice his presence, practice walking with him. If you have some ideas of things we could talk about here, we'd love to hear from you as well. And thank you, Linda, Kylie, and Juana for coming on. Yeah.